This is Tom Denny, and I'm talking with Justin Wilkinson, who is an editor and documentary filmmaker, and your videos can be seen on ponderthis.net as well as theageofwisdom.net.
Ponderonthis.net.
What is that about?
Well, first I want to... It's theagelesswisdom.net.
The ageless wisdom,
yes.
Okay.
And ponderonthis.net. Ponderonthis.net is... Well, Ponder on This is a three-part documentary, which is... Ponder on This is a three-part documentary, which gives a very generic and sort of widespread explanation on the ageless wisdom teachings, and you could say theosophy.
Which is what?
Theosophy is a combination of religious studies with philosophical and psychological studies intertwined with science. And so it's sort of the study that, you know, connects all fields together, which is what they're all ultimately unfolding to do.
So in these videos, you go over a lot of information, but what I find is the most interesting is the history of man. And apparently there's a lot of different histories of man. For instance, you mentioned 1 million years of Atlantis. And I just wanted to go over my understanding of Atlantis very briefly. In all of the sources I've read, Atlantis is at least 13,000 years ago was the fall of Atlantis. And that was the last or fourth Atlantis, or third
right.
or fourth, which we don't really know because those records have been systematically and purposely wiped out from Earth's history. But you get the number 1 million years of Atlantis before its fall. What is that about?
Okay. Well, basically, to go take it one step a little before that, man was individualized 18 million years ago. That means that at that time, there was only the animal man. It was the bipedal organism which had evolved from the animal kingdom and had become fully bipedal, and his physical body had been relatively perfected. He was very human-like, except for a few facial expressions which were different. But he was still an animal and did not have a godly assignment like what we humans have. And so what happened is 18 million years ago, man was individualized, meaning he became reactive to individual stimulus response, opposed to the animal kingdom, which is only stimulus response, and the vegetable kingdom is only reacted to stimuli. And so each kingdom of nature builds upon the previous one. The mineral kingdom grows, and then the vegetable kingdom grows out of the mineral kingdom. The animal kingdom grows out of the vegetable kingdom. 18 million years ago, the human kingdom was created, and man became individualized, meaning you could
on Earth.
On Earth, where animals have souls, but the soul doesn't individualize through one vehicle. It, like, one species of animal may represent, a whole soul may represent a whole species of animals, or if, like, you know, animals share a much more group
herd mentality,
where humans have a sense and awareness of the individual self, and we have that awareness has evolved much since we've been here. And so the human race will essentially evolve and grow through 7 root races, and we are currently on the 5th. So the first 2 root races evolved and established themselves in Lumeria, which was a continent that spanned in the Pacific Ocean from the Polynesian and Indonesian islands up the Pacific to relatively close to the Pacific coast of America. And it wasn't just one continent, but was several. And mankind evolved there and existed there for 6 million years. It is known as the Lumerian Age. And there, man became individualized, perfected his physical body, and then began to develop the emotional body. And perfected the emotional body, and then 6 million years ago, due to tectonic activity and just earth changes and stuff, over, you know, several million years, the continent dissipated and broke up. Sea levels rose.
Mm-hmm. And then evolved into Atlantis.
And then Atlantis appeared in the Atlantic Ocean. Atlantis, which is, a lot of people think of it as like a lost city. Mm-hmm. They recognize it as the lost continent, but they, you know,
it's actually a culture, worldwide culture.
Atlantis represents a era of human evolution where the third and fourth root races began evolving. So Atlantis existed for 12 million years, and it was a chain of islands that stretched from the Caribbean up the Atlantic into the Mediterranean. And there, humanity perfected his emotional body, and his emotional body became very powerful in Atlantis. And at that time, he only had what you could say a germ of mind, or just a small aspect of the mind.
Historically, this would place humans and dinosaurs in the same place at the same time.
Well, no, because dinosaurs died out
about
65 million years ago. Humans,
that, sure.
The first human appeared 18 million years ago. Now, something to understand, though, is that the cycles of evolution, it was opened 18 million years ago, meaning, you know, animals, certain different species of hominoids were capable of individualizing and becoming human. So from all the period of Lumeria up until about halfway through the second round of Atlantis, this doorway was open for these hominoids to individualize. And, you know, there were different evolutions occurring at that time, being stimulated at different levels. And by the second, close to the third round of Atlantis, there were humans who were becoming relatively evolved and had become, you could say, relatively enlightened, and had reached a point now where they were ready and capable to move on and actually step out of the human kingdom into the superhuman or divine kingdom.
And this is all a natural...
This is all controlled by the natural laws of evolution and the processes of evolution, of life, of the consciousness of life.
And then something went very wrong around the third or fourth.
Right. Well, what happened was, once this door was opened, well, first of all, once the door was opened for humans to step out of the human kingdom, the door was closed for animals to be able to come into the human kingdom. And that door has been closed and will be closed until the next round opens, which will be several thousand years from now. And basically, once during Atlantis, this was about, you know, 3.5-4 million years into its evolution, humans began passing into the spiritual kingdom and became masters, and they began to master the earth experience. And then the hierarchy, or the fifth kingdom in nature, began to build itself up. And as the humans evolved, they began to take over certain positions by other entities.
Other entities? What sort of other entities?
Well, other entities that work in cooperation with our planetary Logos, who is the actual, the ensouling force of this planet. He oversees the evolution of all the kingdoms of nature on this planet. And all life on this planet is an expression of his personality.
So we're talking about a consciousness more than a person or a god.
Right. Well, I mean, the planetary Logos has been, in mystical terms, implied as like Gaia and the spirit of the world. Mm. Lots of shaman tribes and Hopi Indians acknowledge it.
Usually as a female, though. A female.
Well, right.
It has
two sides. It has two aspects. I mean, in reality, the soul is neither male or female, but when it incarnates, or when it creates a vehicle to come into physical life, it creates a physical body, being either male or female, just different ways to experience the life, the human life. And so, the basically this he's known as Sonic Kumara, and he stands in as a regent for the Planetary Logos. He's a direct reflection of the Planetary Logos, and he's one of the seven spirits before the throne. And the seven of these spirits came from Venus 18 million years ago, and they came, well, they, first of all, are existing on a much higher plane of manifestation, known as the Adi, or divine plane, and they actually lowered their vibration and came down into the etheric plane of the Earth. They weren't capable of coming into physical bodies, but they could come in the etheric plane. And the fact that that happened, the fact they simply brought their presence into the etheric plane of the Earth stimulated the kingdoms of nature in on the Earth, and thus resulted in the mineral kingdom. Certain elements became radioactive, and also certain animals became individualized. Thus, the human kingdom was created. And so the evolution of the Earth has been moving very fast since then.
So we're just talking about the natural process of evolution and energies. But then something went wrong with Atlantis.
Well, right. So once this hierarchy began to be established, these masters began, they were walking openly with mankind and had built up ashrams and learning schools. But at that time, remember, we did not have the mental body which we have now. Man, we didn't have that critical, analytical thought processing. We couldn't analyze things like the way we can today. So we were mostly governed and controlled by our physical drives and our emotional, you know, reality. And our emotions really drove us and controlled us. So those few people that could think became very powerful. And like a sheep controls a flock, herd.
This was when the uninitiate or the students of the masters began to take the knowledge and wisdom that they were being taught of how the universe works and how to make things manifest on this plane, and used it for selfish intentions.
Their own selfish, because,
and that was the birth of the Dark Brotherhood.
Right. And so this hierarchy, or the spiritual kingdom, the fifth kingdom in nature, which is known as the Elder Brothers of Humanity, they are known also as the Great White Lodge of Masters. They use these
Masters
of Wisdom. They use all these planetary cosmic forces, and they manipulate these forces to serve the plan of evolution, to help man complete his evolutionary journey. Now, these black magicians, they're also known as the Lords of Materiality. They arose during these later days of Atlantis, and basically,
that's when mind control and enslavement
invented. These black magicians themselves do not exist in physical bodies. They exist in etheric bodies. And so they can move around the etheric plane and basically influence men wherever greed and brutality exists. So lots of people liked this power. This power that that these masters through the mystery schools were being taught, this esoteric knowledge, and they liked that they could they liked this sensation, because mainly they weren't capable of deciphering good from bad, from good and evil. They're governed by their thoughts and emotions. So, you know, because we're relatively not very evolved, I mean, really it was all a test. What the test was, from the hierarchy's perspective, is to see if we could give men a certain amount of knowledge, really more knowledge than what he's meant to know at that time, because if we could have used it wisely, it could have it could further our evolution even more. We could have evolved even more than we have. But unfortunately, that didn't occur, and the test failed, and it was a great catastrophe. And
that's when
lots of kings and lots of people in the humans in Atlantis and the different cities became unduly influenced by these lords of materiality. And what happened was, because of the knowledge they had, they began to do ritual sacrifices. This is basically where Satanism originated from, and they began doing like demonic, like rituals of
so
rising
they were calling
people from the
in
dead.
More of
right.
this dark
they
energy.
were actually invoking, calling the demons, trying, riling up the senses by calling in the demons to come in and to enter people's bodies, and to and the whole like myths of Frankenstein and mermaids and centaurs, all that comes from Atlantis, from all the genetic manipulation, all the different
so,
things that
so
were
there
going
were
on.
There was we're not talking about we're talking about an ancient society that was advanced enough to have genetic manipulation.
Oh, right.
And probably
during Atlantis they had great technology and sciences that we could only dream of today. But that didn't occur. It wasn't that the humans at that time were figuring out how to do this. We barely even had the mental body. We could barely even think. All this technology was given to us by the masters as a gift to stimulate our evolution. Unfortunately, that because the masters don't infringe upon our free will, they don't. They're not masters in an authoritarian sense. They are simply masters of themselves. They have mastered the Earth experience and no longer can learn anything from incarnating. Thus, their soul has detached itself from the law of rebirth and they no longer have to reincarnate. So they are like the teachers. They are only teachers. And
they're on a service to others' existence.
Right. And so once these black magicians began to rise up, the process, it just escalated and escalated, and man unknowingly provoked the demonic kingdom of the earth and was not capable of handling that those forces.
And so once invoked, they have been with us ever since.
Right. Well, the demonic kingdoms and as well as the diva kingdoms represent positive and negative energy. And then the humans represent balanced energy. And so we're meant to see all the demonic kingdom plays its role in our evolution, because everything is constantly moving and changing, and nothing is static. Each civilization has, you know, in a broader sense, expressed something more than the previous one has, and you know, each one has shown its expression of its potential more than the previous one, and so each root race will grow, and then a root race will die out and be destroyed, and then out of that destruction, a new root race will be created. So this demonic kingdom really represents the destructive aspect of the form. So they bring about the destruction of necessary things to be destroyed simply so that evolution can continue. And so, but what happened was, because we invoked the demonic kingdom, they became intertwined with ours, and it became twisted, and man has, you could say, fallen into the mud.
And that's why we've had such a long history of
right.
brutal wars and selfishness.
The history of mankind can be seen as the response to the ideas released sequentially by these men, these masters, who serve the plan of evolution. And humanity has been known, is known throughout the universe as the Great Orphan.
And this Great Orphan?
The Great Orphan. This is because the moon chain, which was the cycle of evolution preceding ours, it actually failed. So before humanity was on this planet, we were actually on another planet in our solar system, which is known as the Dark Planet. And the original logos of that planet rebelled and actually thought that it could bring about the evolution differently than what the solar logos or the consciousness of the whole solar system had originally devised and set up. And what happened was...
And that's the story of Lucifer then, huh?
In a lot of ways, yes. But what happened was these souls were given too much free will, and the plan of evolution was not, the vision of that plan was not realized enough by these souls. So they rushed in like adventurers, and it just soon became chaos and overwhelmed. And it became so overwhelming that the planet had to be destroyed, and it was destroyed and was blown to a cinder.
Was this Tiamat?
Tiamat, Melona, there's different names for it. In the occult esoteric teachings, it's known as the dark planet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's known as also the moon chain, the cycle of evolution preceding ours. And so this is where the concept of Milton's fallen angel or born in sin, the, you know, we fell from paradise, because on this original planet, we were in etheric bodies, not in dense physical bodies. And we, the idea of, you know, eating from the tree of knowledge or disobeying God's plan comes from the fact that we, you know, disobeyed, and we did not, you know, the souls that rushed in didn't incarnate, aligning themselves to the will of the Logos, who oversees the evolution, and which normally occurs on most planets. And so what happened was this, the ensouling entity of the planet, or this Logos, had to resign from its position. And so the earthly father, who normally would be there to guide us inwardly on our journey of evolution, was not there. And a council had to replace his position. And that council was replaced by beings from Venus. And they came in and acted as a Logos. And that's where Sonic Kumar and the other seven Kumars that came from Venus, or who were also known as the seven spirits before the throne. It's the seven heavenly
men. And the Egyptians actually talked a lot about their brothers from Venus and teachers from Venus, known as the Hathors.
Yeah, Venus is a divine planet. Mars is a planet that is relatively about the same level where Earth is at in evolution. But the beings on Mars and Venus all live in etheric bodies. I mean, if you go to Mars, the physical planet itself is very cold. There's lots of radiation because there's no atmosphere. Venus is, you know, almost 1,000 degrees, and the pressure is 1,000 times higher
than
Earth.
Yeah, there's nothing there on
the
third
dimension. So there's no physical life, but there are beings that exist in etheric. And what etheric is you have matter simply vibrates at different frequencies. So you have this dense physical, the dense physical, which is what our bodies are made out of, and the metal and wood and certain elements. And then you have the liquid state. And then you have the gaseous state. Now, science right now only acknowledges these three states of matter, but there's actually four states above that, which is known as the etheric planes, which is a finer substance of matter that our instruments cannot yet detect. Like dark matter and dark energy is all just etheric matter in the universe. It's the etheric planes of the universe, but we see it, its effect upon matter, because it's etheric and physical go hand in hand, the reflections of each other. And above the physical and etheric planes is the emotional or astral plane, and above that is the mental plane. And these three planes of manifestation are where the soul incarnates through. So when the soul incarnates, it creates a mental body on the mental plane, an astral body on the astral plane or emotional plane, and then a physical body on the physical plane.
And this is what we travel between when we're dreaming or
right.
going
when
through.
When a person is asleep, the physical body, the conscious mind, will go to sleep. But at that time, the etheric body can disconnect itself from the physical body and can then travel upon the astral plane. So lots of experiences people have on dreams are actually experiences that their astral body is having. See, the astral plane is a plane of emotion. It is made up of matter of a much, much higher vibration than this, but there is shapes, and there's buildings, there's trees, there's bars, there's mm-hmm. clubs, there's
yeah.
cities, there's forests.
And we've all seen them.
There's all these
them.
Different ways of experiencing all these things that simulate emotions, but it's mostly things that go on in the astral plane. Is people who are there, like people that are very attached to physical desires. They'll do those same things on the etheric plane, trying to get that same kind of stimulation. And so when a person dies, when someone dies, the physical body dies, and then the etheric body goes into limbo, kind of. It goes, because it depends on how you die. People that die very quickly, the etheric body goes into a shock. But eventually, the etheric body gets absorbed by the astral body. And then eventually, the astral body gets absorbed by the mental body. And then the mental body then gets absorbed by the soul. And then once that happens, the soul then returns to its... Because the soul exists on its own plane of manifestation, which is very high. And in order for it to incarnate into the physical, to create these lower vehicles, it has to lower its vibration. It comes down into the causal plane, and it creates the causal body, or the ego.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the self, the individualized self, which expresses itself through the emotional and mental states.
So what we've got is an experience where these souls are incarnating all over the universe, all throughout time. However, on planet Earth, we have a unique situation where if the soul incarnates, it's going to be much more subject to these dark forces which have been called upon.
Because lots of reasons. Because originally the moon chain, the cycle of evolution preceding this, failed. And also because of what has happened in Atlantis and the fact that the demonic kingdoms in nature have been so intertwined with ours, so it has made our evolution so slow and hard. And it's the reason for so much of our anguish here, and the reason of so many people denying a God. So many people...
Because there's so much suffering. How could there be a God?
There's so much suffering on this planet. People say, how could there be a God? How could a God let this happen? Well, it's because of the fact that we have our own free will. That is our God-given right, the ability to choose between altruism and egoism. So every civilization on every planet has the ability to choose between egoism and altruism. And that free will is not inferred upon, because that is the part of our evolution.
So why would the soul choose to incarnate on this planet? Or is it forced to?
The soul itself is not who we really are. The soul is really just an intermediary point between the higher self and the lower self. The lower self, or the lower nature, which is the mental body, astral body, and physical body, those three vehicles create the personality. So the personality is the lower self. Now, the higher self is the monad, which is the pure spirit, or the Father in heaven. It is that spark of divinity. So if God, or the oversoul, can be seen as one flame, then all monads are sparks of this flame. They are divine on an even higher plane of manifestation than the soul. Now, on this planet, matter and spirit have been separated too much, and we have plunged too deep into matter. And this is why you have, so many people in atheists, so many people denying.
It's so easy to so not easy be to just a to, spiritual
to,
person.
To deny a God, because it seems so obvious that how could there be a God because of the amount of suffering on this planet.
And then that's what opens us up to succumb to the ego and those dark forces of just sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Yeah.
In a sense.
It's all part of our learning experience. But you see, as terrible as all this has been, there is a great opportunity here, because souls that can come into this earth scheme and experience this reality here and come out of it, like the Lord Buddha has said, almost too difficult for mortal feet to trod. If you can come out of that, you'll be a very evolved being.
So our earth is like the Harvard of spiritual training.
Right. It's a lot of souls will see this as an opportunity to be able to go so far from the tree, but if it can come back, it will come out of it learning so much. See, every time the soul incarnates, it learns and it experiences itself. And, you know, for most of the time, the soul's incarnating, it relatively pays little attention to the vehicles it creates, because those vehicles are operating on such a low vibration and are basically paying the will, the force of the ego is in control of the mind and the body and the emotions. And until the personality or the lower nature begins to recognize that it is just the microcosm in the macrocosm, you see, we have our own individual will, which mostly governs our lives. And that keeps us at a certain level. Evolution is trying to bring us to the point where we become aware of the ego and realize that by controlling the lower self, then the higher self can begin to make its presence felt in the personality, in our mind and emotions. And so this is known as initiation. And a human being will take 5 initiations on this planet. And these 5 initiations are basically 5 great expansions of consciousness that one will undergo. And they're really initiations into the human, out of the human kingdom, into the superhuman or spiritual kingdom. So some people may have just their foot in this kingdom. Some people may have their leg in it. Some people have their whole body in it. The people who have completely divorced themselves from all the physical limitations and have mastered the earth experience are the elder brothers of humanity, or the spiritual hierarchy of this planet. And once one takes the 5th initiation, the soul is no longer subject to the law of rebirth, and you no longer have to reincarnate. So what happens then is, nothing is static, everything keeps moving on. So the 5 initiations out of this earth scheme only prepares you for another scheme of another.
It sounds like like a video game where you can choose your player
and then you level up.
Yeah.
To get to a next point.
Well, doesn't that make sense if we were part of the system, that that's the kind of gaming we would create for ourselves?
And so what happens is, once someone takes the fifth initiation and becomes a master, you are given 7 paths you can take. There's the path of magnetic work, the path of absolute sonship. There's the path that the Logos is on himself. So your consciousness can actually train to become a planetary Logos. I mean, you have to think of who knows how long it would take, you know, eons of evolution. But, I mean, the fact of the consciousness of the Logos of a planet is so vast. I mean, he oversees the evolution of all the kingdoms in nature. He's aware of every species and every organism on the planet, every cell inside our bodies.
That's a lot of computing.
Every cell inside our body, it has its own consciousness. Just like our own bodies, we have our own consciousness. And that consciousness is the same consciousness experiencing itself through all the different forms on the planet and on all planets in the universe. It's really just it's ultimately just the universal mind just experiencing itself, evolving.
So through this evolution, you also mentioned that there were these dark forces unleashed and have been wreaking havoc. Even the Muslims believe that there is even Christians and Catholics believe that everybody has a demon and an angel, kind of the idea, you know, one perched on each shoulder. Or the jinn or the genie or these dark forces that are whispering in our ears to do bad things or to do the right thing, and then we're in the middle having to make the choice. So
I mean, our goal here as humans is, you know, we are in some metaphorical senses, a demon just with a particle of God within us, and we are meant to spiritualize matter. So there's lots of symbolic terminology.
That's the alchemical work.
Right. I think what you're saying here is, these two aspects of light and darkness, of good and evil, come from our free will to be able to choose between egoism and altruism. We can either be selfish or we can be unselfish. And so the soul exists in a kingdom of the nature of the soul is relationship. And the challenge for humanity is to demonstrate right human relations.
But in this harsh environment, sometimes, it makes more sense to just be selfish, to hoard a piece of food for yourself.
Right.
It means survival oftentimes.
It has, but that is because the consciousness of the self is still relatively vibrating at a lower frequency, and he has not yet taken these initiations. You see, the average grade of humanity is living in a sleep state where the force field of the ego is in control of the mind and body, and they are largely governed by their, just their emotions and thoughts, and they have no awareness or control over their thoughts and their reactions to their thoughts. So the mind,
or where those thoughts are even coming from.
Right. And so when you go through this, there's lots of different ways, meditation and philosophy and just conversations like this, conversations with yourself. Just everyone can do it. There's no right or wrong way to do it. But once one will then take or be a part of what's known as the probationary path, and this is where the lower nature is, the will of the individual is beginning to lean more away from serving himself to serving others. And then once you begin to walk the probationary path, that then leads to the portal of initiation. And so while you're going through the process of initiation, the first initiation is when the personality takes control over the physical body. The physical drive, speech, sex, gluttony, the physical aspects of this, of our physical reality. The second initiation is when the personality takes control over the astral or emotional body and can control the urges and the emotions and direct those emotions, choose between love or fear, love opposed to hate. And then the third initiation is then when the personality brings control over the mental body or transmutes the mental body. And then at that point, you are enlightened. And for the first time in your evolution, will actually convey the qualities or express the higher self. Just a small aspect. So each time you go through this initiation, you are bringing more light into the vehicles. Now, the process of initiation is an amazing thing, because what's really going on is it's really the soul itself that goes through the initiation, although the process is felt through the lower vehicles. Now, what happens, before I explain it, I want to say that the soul itself is basically made of light, and the dense physical body, this is dense conformed version of light. I mean, our body's made of star stuff.
It's matter is only energy slowed down to a vibration.
Exactly. So our astral and mental bodies are just higher vibrations than the physical, but still of the lower vibration compared to the other planes of manifestation above them. And so the first two initiations are done by the Christ, who is the head of this hierarchy. Now, the Christ is just an office. It is just a position of the hierarchy. And the hierarchy itself is divided into three main departments. You have the first ray group, which is known as the Manu, and then you have the Bodhisattva and the Mahakohan. So these three individuals, the Manu, Bodhisattva, and the Mahakohan, are the three heads of the three departments. And so each master will work with one of these departments based on his own race structure. So each of us express five of these rays. There's really seven. The seven rays are the sum total of the divine consciousness of the universal mind. Or you could see them as seven intelligent entities through whom the divine plan is working out. They are the seven breaths animating all forms which have been created by them to bring about the divine will. And so the seven rays correlate to the seven centers of force, the seven centers of force within the brain, the seven chakras, the seven planes of manifestation of the solar system. And so the monad and soul each manifest on a certain ray, and so does the personality. And that all changes each time the soul incarnates. And so the seven rays, the three major rays are, the first rays is the will or power aspect of life. The second ray is the love wisdom aspect. And the third ray is active intelligence. So the Mahakohan, or the department of the third ray, his job, and all the masters that work with him, is to develop the intelligence of humanity, where the Christ in his office, the Bodhisattva, developed the love wisdom aspect, and then the Manu bring about the will aspect. And now there's also four rays of attribute. Those are the three rays of aspect. The four rays of attribute, the fourth ray, is harmony, beauty, and art. The fifth ray is concrete knowledge and science. And the sixth ray is abstract idealism or devotion. And the seventh ray is ceremonial magic or order. So institutions like the Freemasons and stuff, that's all manifestation of the seventh ray. It's all very ceremonial, ritual and stuff,
which we often don't understand, right, and misinterpret.
Right. And so all things in the universe and all things here on life are all governed by these seven rays. Each nation expresses itself through a certain ray, just like our bodies are governed by these certain rays. They are, I mean, if you could see the universal mind and its light shining through a prism, when light shines through a prism, it breaks into seven yeah, colors.
And then we also have seven chakras. And
right.
I guess to... I didn't mean to interrupt you right there. I guess
keep
you off.
Going.
Those are the seven rays. I guess what I found interesting is through all of this initiation and evolution on this planet and the dark forces that have been brought in and have been said to, especially you mentioned the Freemasons who even say themselves that they've been infiltrated by some dark force, mm-hmm, that what they're worshiping at the top has been replaced,
right,
from the actual light and
what
by
it really
these
meant to be originally, right. And in a large aspect, these lords of materiality have essentially, in some way and in some degree, infiltrated all governments of the planet.
They've infiltrated everything. It's everywhere you look. It's in music, it's in movies.
Oh,
just
yes.
The evil hand is on
they
everything.
They seek to dominate man for their own selfish glory and power.
These are the fallen ones, like Asmodeus, the ones that have been said to have been hurled into the abyss.
Yes. There's so many different
explorations of who these beings are, the
right,
old
and
ones,
and a lot
the ancient
of it
ones.
Is just, you know, it is a reflection of the conflict that occurs on the inner planes and the other, you know, most of the evolution occurs on the inner plane.
So what you also said was interesting is that the gateway that was opened during Atlantis was also is also coming to a close due to the bloodshed of World War I and II.
Right. Well, what happened was the Antichrist is not a person. It's not an individual person who will come and deceive us into creating a, you know, one world government of enslavement and totalitarian, you know, life.
Mm.
The Antichrist is an energy. First of all, something to understand about about demons and the demonic kingdom is that it's pure energy. It is all etheric matter. None of it's physical. They can influence our thoughts and emotions and, you know, can in some form or way come out of us by us expressing self physically, but they themselves are pure energy. Just like the Deva kingdoms, which in religion is known as angels, are all pure energy. And things like typhoons and hurricanes, earthquakes, pandemics are all devic forces which are uncontrolled. Man is meant to evolve to bring these balance, these two positive and negative forces. So we're meant to basically transmute the demonic kingdom, meaning it will then no longer be able to influence us because we'll bring, at a collective level, bring control over our lower nature. And so then, at that moment, these lords of materiality will become powerless and will then have no more use. And then, at that time, humanity will take its next stage and a new root race will be created. And then, we're also meant to bring these devic forces into control by consciously manipulating them. So eventually, things like earthquakes, pandemics, floods will be a thing of the past. It will no longer occur. Everything that occurs on the planet is a result of the unfoldment of our consciousness.
So when we see things like Haiti or Hurricane Katrina, it's an example of uncontrolled...
Well, karma, the karmic law is something that governs the universe. It is the law of cause and effect. Every action has its positive, negative reaction. And it is the governing principle of our lives. You reap what you sow. And so we have individual karma, and we have racial karma, we have national karma, and world karma. It's all working itself out in different ways. And
these are some of the manifestations of that.
Right.
So when they say that, yes, the Masons are responsible for all the world wars, and are trying to steer us towards this one world order of sorts. In a sense, that's true, but they're also being governed by these dark masters, which is, you know, the
right.
Eye at the top of the pyramid.
There is a growing awareness of many people and conspiracy theories and such of a new world order that is coming into being and has been, you know, planned for, some people say 50 years, some people say
hundreds of thousands.
Thousands of years, some people say millions of years. Now, there's a film called The Dark Crystal.
Oh, amazing that you mentioned that.
The Dark Crystal is an amazing video because in that video, the crystal itself, when the crystal shard was broken, the life force split and created the Mystics and the Skeksis, the two versions of really one thing. One was selfish and one was selfless. One had all the power and wisdom and you know, was altruistic. The other was selfish and greedy and, you know,
gluttonous
and stuff.
And enslaved and
now,
stole the essence of the other beings.
But so what this is symbolic of is this, there is a new world order coming into being on this planet, and it will manifest itself. Now, there are two aspects of this new world order. You have the aspect that this that these dark lords of materiality are trying to bring about, and they've influenced lots of groups of secret societies and bankers and politicians and the United Nations. They've influenced lots of people to bring about this, their version of the New World Order, which would create a system of a totalitarian government where we would be
slave
locked
state
in this microchipped, and you would be enslavement.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these demonic forces and Lord's materiality are ignorant in the fact that, from their perspective, they are wanting to serve themselves and slave mankind for their own enjoyment and their own greed and selfishness. But in reality, they're really serving the light, because the hierarchy is using the same forces that these black magicians use, except one serves the plan of evolution and the other, you could say, serves involution. And so this hierarchy of masters, the masters of the wisdom, who are in the process of externalizing right now and are preparing to come back into open relationship with mankind, come to establish the New World Order and the New World Religion, which will be a religion of science. There will be no distinction between, there will be no separation between religion or science.
Mm-hmm.
It will be based off, everything will be purely scientific.
Which, and once they discover the true nature of reality, they discover that science is religion.
Well, right. Yeah, in a lot of aspects, religion has just been our interpretation of messengers who have come throughout time, sent by this hierarchy.
Embodying, all of our ancient gods are sometimes coming, higher beings.
Coming at different ages, through different cultures, expressing different things, in a lot of senses saying relatively the same thing, up until about 2,000 years ago, where the head of the spiritual hierarchy, who is the Christ, his personal name takes as Maitreya, he overshadowed the individual Jesus, who was born a third-degree initiate. And Jesus, for primarily the last 3 years of his life's mission, embodied the manifestation of the Christ on earth. So the Christ himself spoke through Jesus, and the message of Jesus was to, one, inaugurate the age of Pisces, and was to show man that we evolve out of sacrifice. This planet evolves out of sacrifice. Venus evolves through wisdom. The Earth evolves through sacrifice. And so this is why there has been so much suffering, and why did there have to be so many wars and so much suffering on this planet? Well, because, remember what happened back during Atlantis, the demonic kingdoms, we evoked the demonic kingdoms and they became entangled with our evolution. And, the demonic kingdoms, they hold us back, but they also push us forward at the same time. And a metaphor from you could use from that is, when someone loses everything, for instance, if they lose, their house burns down, and then their wife and daughters get killed in an accident. By losing all of that, they can come out of it enlightened. People can come out of certain situations by losing a lot of things.
Right, they learn a lot about themselves.
They learn a lot about themselves.
A lot of POWs have said that they wouldn't trade their experience because they have a greater taste of freedom afterwards that they wouldn't have been able to have without that experience.
So this demonic kingdom, they, you could say, are holding us back from moving into the light. But because of karmic law, when those demonic kingdom, when the demonic kingdom get is satisfied, they let go and they allow humanity to move forward. And so all the wars and the bloodshed that has been spilled has been simply because we evolve through sacrifice. And you know, the sacrifice of Christ and the idea of, you know, being crucified on the cross is, you know, he's sacrificed. I mean, there's, you know, a lot of misinterpretations that, you know, Jesus died for our sins and was the only Son of God. Well, we're all sons. We are all children of the one Father, which the Christ has told us. So the Christ working through his disciple Jesus conveyed the nature of God, which is love.
So the sacrifice is the spilling of human blood and the releasing of those whatever energies appease the demonic forces. And you also mentioned that this is what was going on with the Aztecs.
Well, right. The Aztecs and Mayans both had certain days throughout the year where they would sacrifice people. They almost looked at it as they had holidays devoted to just killing people, simply for the sake of killing them. I'm sure they had more of a deeper reason. I have not gone in too deep in the research with, you know, what their implications were. But for the Mayan, the priests, the high priests of the Mayan civilization, they had a strong understanding of astrology and the placing of, you know, objects within the heavens, the bodies within the solar system. And so they knew that an eclipse was occurring simply because the moon was passing in front of the Earth's orbit, blocking the sun. Now the crowd, the masses at that time, did not know that. And so they thought that the god had become angry and wanted blood to be satisfied. And so the Mayans would sacrifice people in a lot of ways, manipulating the crowd for control and thinking that they had a connection with these gods and so they should be worshipped and should be the leaders of their culture to obtain their power. Well, but in reality, it was also satisfying the demonic kingdoms that exist within us.
So in a sense, they were appeasing the gods, but it was the dark gods.
There's just two sides of looking at it.
So now you also mentioned that because of World War I and World War II, which you count as one war, the blood that was spilt on that level satiated the demons enough to the final point where now the door is closed?
Well, what has happened is the demonic kingdom has been negotiated with by the hierarchy, and certain forces, in the larger sense, we evoked the demonic kingdoms in Atlantis and have been very intertwined with them ever since then. That is why there's been so much anguish and suffering in our history as we've evolved from civilization to civilization. But World War II was sort of the deciphering point where, you know, the forces really played themselves out. You know, the Great War began in Atlantis on the mental plane and only came down into the physical plane between World War I and World War II. And it was sort of, you know, a clash of the titans. These two forces battled themselves out in the inner planes and spilled out physically as just the war. And the forces of light defeated the forces of evil. And the war was won. And evil has been defeated, but it's just being sealed right now. And very soon the door will be shut where evil dwells. And these demonic forces will be set at bay and will be concealed and will be held back for 1,000 years. And then because of karmic law, forces have to play out and things have to unfold. So in 1,000 years from now, they will be allowed to re-influence us, and, you know.
But we'll be so evolved by that
point.
But we'll
be very different then than we are now.
And this is where the Christian prophecy
plays. We'll be able to transmute a large aspect of that.
You also mentioned that the reason why so many people have phobias over insects and reptiles and slithering things had to do with that initial mental plane attack that happened in Atlantis?
Yeah, in Atlantis, towards the end there, after the civilization began to break apart and slowly dematerialize, a lot of these demonic forces, they channel their psychic energy into these creatures that are low to the earth, you know, centipedes, spiders, scorpions, alligators, things like that. That's why there's such a strong fear.
So were these things attacking people?
No, they're just insects, but there's a primordial fear that people have of these slow, you know, these creatures that are low, close to the earth.
And that was something that the humans at that time had summoned upon themselves?
Well, whether we summoned that or they did it themselves, I mean, it's a mix of a lot of stuff, you know. In a lot of ways, this is our fault. We evoke the demonic kingdoms. They, you know, we let them loose prematurely. And
like, that's how they manifest.
Like an ignorant child that has too much powers and abilities, you know.
Or the story of Pandora.
Right.
And how does the Cthulhu mythos play into this?
The Cthulhu mythos?
Yes, that there is this water demigod, the old one, that you mentioned that it was created in Atlantis or brought into this world through Atlantis.
Well, right, there's different aspects of the demonic forces. There's, you know, water demons, there's fire demons, they different elemental forces that move within the wind, and certain demonic forces that live in hurricanes and move around in the wind and cause lots of anguish for sailors and ships. And there's a lot of creatures in the oceans that will soon be discovered, ancient creatures and sea monsters that were created back in Atlantis. Most of these creatures, though, are, you know, phase dimensional beings, are capable of crossing between both the physical and etheric planes, so they can, you know, you could say, come in and out of dimension.
And that would be why H.P. Lovecraft, who's inherited the knowledge of this through his Masonic forefathers, meaning that the legend was that, you know, he got all of this information about his Cthulhu stories from some old Masonic text, because his dad was a Freemason. And possibly that was just some ancient knowledge kept hidden within the bloodlines about these things from Atlantis, which terrified
right.
him so. But now, you say the age has ended, and we're definitely entering into Aquarius at this time, and now all of these old situations are coming to an end, and something
right.
new
well,
is about
the, to the energies of Aquarius first began to make themselves felt in 1625, during the Renaissance period. And so you could say that the first implementing of the Aquarian energies into this world took us out of the Dark Age and brought us into the Renaissance era, which then led to the Industrial Revolution and to the American countries being created, and then to leading to modern day globalization and, you know, unifying the world as one. See, the older Piscean energy builds up its manifestation on individual power, and we devised and created all of our institutions based on that old Piscean energy, of individuality and individual gain, individual support. You know, the idea of every man for himself in this competitive, you know, free market world we live in, and nation for nation. Now, that's changing though, because these new Aquarian energies that are coming into the world support group and collective activity, and they are synthesizing forces, harmonious. And so they don't necessarily manifest themselves in individuals or individual, they manifest themselves in groups and organizations. So they're coming into the world right now with no institution. We haven't created the new institutions yet that support these. So they're just coming into us and they're affecting us. This is why you're seeing lots of people going to town meetings, lots of people getting together and talking about issues on politics and economics and social.
People are becoming more concerned and aware.
People are becoming more concerned and aware. And the old political, religious, economic structures are crumbling to make way for the new. And by 2025, the Aquarian energies will be much... See, right now it's about polarized. It's about 50-50 between Pisces and Aquarius. But by 2025, the energies of Aquarius will be significantly more powerful than Pisces. And by 2050, there should be no aspect of Pisces left at all.
Where do you get all of your information and basis of this perspective from?
Well, my parents are theosophists, and my grandmother and great-grandmother were also theosophists and were very interested in the occult. And the occult is something that is misunderstood in a lot of ways, where people think the occult means something evil, and it's not hidden knowledge. It just means hidden. It's not cult, but occult, meaning that which is hidden, or that which only the deities know. And so I've been raised around this sort of information, and a lot of it has, I would say, come to me from past lives, and especially just reading and learning about the Ages Wisdom teachings written through H.P. Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, Mary Gray, and Helena Roerich.
Well, they all seem to be positive messages about a bright future for us, so...
Well, that's right, because mankind right now is at a tipping point with our technology evolution is not paralleling our spiritual evolution, and so technology has been misused, and there, you know, it's so easy. We could create a world with peace. We must have peace, because the way that the system is working right now, there is no trust between nations. There's no justice in the world. And because of that, you have crime and you have war. And another war could lead to a major war, which would be nuclear. And that would be the end of all life on this planet. So...
That would be devastating.
That would be the end. We would have to start the process all over again. And it would be very tragic, and it would be such a catastrophe. And so peace is imminent, and we must have peace, and we must take the steps, whatever necessary, to take the steps to achieve peace. And the only way to achieve peace is to have justice. And the only way to have justice is to have trust between your fellow men and between nations. You have to have trust to have justice, to be able to sit down and cooperatively work together. You have to trust one another. But the only way to have trust is to share the resources of this bountiful world. The larger G8, G7 nations have stockpiles of food that sit away and rot in their storehouses, while millions of people needlessly die every year of preventable illness and starvation. This is the fact of the matter, and this is what has to change. There will have to be a sacrifice on all our parts, but in the long term, this will create more stability and peace in the world. We just simply have to share the resources of the world, distribute them equally among the nations.
And this will probably be easier without these demonic forces influencing us and suggesting that we be selfish.
Right. For those people who are very attached to the ephemeral objects and desires and getting the senses riled up and stimulated, those people are, you could say, influenced by these forces. And, the demonic kingdom is something that's just pure energy. And it mainly can influence where brutality and greed are present. So we are meant to transmute that influence.
And so it looks like we probably will. Hopefully.
Yes, humanity is taking...
But we have to do it on our own.
...the first steps. Humanity will, yes, we will have to do it on our own. The masters, though, are emerging soon. And Maitreya is emerging soon. And he will advise humanity the steps it should take if it wishes to survive.
And so how will we know that it is the real Maitreya and not just some other guise of a false prophet that's another element of the Hidden Hand leading us to your negative New World Order?
Before you would come to that conclusion or suspect that, when you see his face and you hear his voice, just be present in the moment and listen to the words which he says and the energy which he conveys within those words. And he will speak the truth, and you will know it when you hear it, because truth is truth, and truth is universal, and truth is eternal. And so you have to feel the energy that he will emit, and use your own intuition to decipher it.
Well, we're definitely living in extremely interesting times. We have these spirals over Norway, giant UFOs showing up all over the face of the planet, these prophecies being fulfilled, and esoteric elements of, the old ways coming to a close. So it all comes down to our free will and just choosing to be of a service to others' lifestyle. And it should all just fall into place then, I'm assuming, for an individual living during this time.
Right. There's only one religion, and that is the religion of love. There's only one heart. There's only one language. That is the language of the heart. There is only one caste, the caste of humanity, and there is only one God, and he is omnipresent. And so we must live in service. We must see each other as brothers, and we must acknowledge ourselves as all children of the one Father.
Now, this doesn't mean we have to be servants like slaves. It just means that we should see each other as not someone to take advantage of.
Not that we're slaves of each other, but we must serve each other. We must awaken the Christ consciousness within our hearts. And we have to see ourselves as brothers. And we have to serve one another. That is our next step that humanity needs to take, and our next demonstration of divinity is developing right human relations.
And so that's the next challenge. Well, I guess that's is there anything else you'd like to add in conclusion?
For a closing statement is just the priority of the current condition of the world, and the simple solution to that problem is to share the resources of the world. When you share the resources of the world, you will have trust. And when you have trust, you will have justice. And when you have justice, you will have peace.
And that starts on the individual basis.